Welcome, everybody, and happy St. Patrick's Day. And welcome to our half-day loving kindness retreat. This is one of the key retreats that we do. It's five retreats in the year to really shift the inner story so that we can grow our companies, live our lives in an aligned way, and just have a whole lot more fun. I've been thinking about you guys all morning. I'm so excited about this material. I've been teaching this since 2010. And then this time around, I'm just like, oh my goodness. It's coming together in a whole new way for me. And there's a new piece that I want to share with you that is new and old that I haven't shared with you since that I haven't shared in this community since 2013. And you guys are ready to hear it. You guys are ready to own it. So I'm super, super excited to share this with you. All right, we are going to begin. And there's Carly, you know, so I didn't want to say it. It's right at the top of the announcements, right? Even before Shavasan, I just really, truly, and on Tuesday, we welcomed Jonathan. I think it's like worthy of two welcomes, right? So let's welcome Jonathan all over again on the count of three. And then we're going to welcome Carly, right? Welcome Carly back, right? On the count of three, one, two, three for Jonathan. Welcome Jonathan.
Welcome Jonathan. Yay. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And then Carly. Oh my goodness, you are here. And so will you join me in re-welcoming Carly back to our community? She keeps coming back. She's here. Carly, I spoke about you on Tuesday. I told you, we talked about it. I told you I would. They got the scoop. And you, there were so many like beautiful notes and welcomes in the chat. I can't tell you, in such loving hearts. So would you please join me in welcoming back Carly into our community?
Thank you. I am so happy to be back.
Thank you. And Carly, and you know, they know, so like you'll be sometimes on, sometimes, you know, sometimes video on, video off, just always, always happy to get to see you. And I want to, you know, you've watched me ask this question of people. I want to ask it of you. This is not your first leap. This is not your second leap. You know, you've been leaping and leaping into this community, and we all want to get what that leaping is in our bones, right? What is it to take a leap into something that we want, something that we desire, something that grows us bigger, that allows us to truly live our lives in an aligned way? And so, Carly, you are an experienced leaper, mm-hmm. but each one is a new leap. Each one is a new decision. Each one is like a yes to ourselves. And we so want that energy for ourselves. So, Carly, and as I said to Jonathan on Tuesday, maybe you're going, why did I do that? I know I talked to Michelle. I know it's been a long journey. You might be going, yes, I'm so happy to be here. You might be anywhere in between, but will you share with us something of that leaping energy? Like, Carly, why'd you leap and leap and leap? Why'd you leap this time? What is it that allowed you to access that?
Well, I mean, especially going through a near-death experience, you know, recently, you know, the fear and everything going along with that made leaping actually that much more obvious to do, mm-hmm. I would say. And stepping into, you know, I'm already gonna cry. When I was in the hospital, I just kept thinking, I am not done with what I want to do here. And there's so many more gifts that I want to share. And all the work we've done together, Michelle, has helped me grow that more. And I have so much more growth I want to do.
Thank you. You saw the hearts popping up everywhere, you know, just, what is it to have that fire inside of us for our lives, right? That's what I hear. And Carly, I told them the story about, I read them your text that you sent me as you gave me permission to do, and told them about Shavasan and, you know, this work that we're doing, it just lets me underline it. Yes, we grow our companies, and I'm so, you know, I'm so excited for whatever reason, whatever brought you here, You know, I'm so excited that we're growing our companies and our work in the world together. And, but the way that it happens here, our community, it's called Love Your Words, Love Your Life. Fall in love with your life. Actually live a life on purpose, live a life on fire, live a life because it matters. Oh yeah, then, and as a result, we grow our companies. So Carly, thank you for illustrating that so powerfully, so beautifully here. Oof, anything else you want to say, Carly? Okay, thank you. So we've had such a beautiful leaping energy this week. I think with Jonathan and Carly's permission, are you okay if I open it up to others? Because we just like heard beautiful two beautiful leaping stories this week. I want to open it up to others, and I see the nods from you. What's opening for you when you have been involved and heard this leaping energy this week? What's opening for you now? Because I'm just vibrating here with these two, you know, and very different leaping stories, right? But at the heart, it's like, let me live my life. You know, I can hear that in both of you, right? What's opening for you now? I'm not afraid of silence. I know you're just thinking, right? It's a lot. This is really big energy. That was Yvonne. Thank you.
I think for me, it's an either a 10x desire of wanting to do more and be more.
Beautiful. And I often, many of you have seen me do this. It's like we live our lives and we make a decision, you know? And it's like, it seems like sometimes a small thing, sometimes a big thing, but we choose a different path. This one leads to this life. This one leads to this life. A 10x desire to do more and be more. And you heard that and got that in yourselves from what we're doing here. Like, we could end now. We're not going to. We've lost so much I want to share with you, right? But if you really mean those words, how can that not shift your year and your life? We can read those words, but if it's not ingrained, if it's not in ourselves, who cares? It's just words. Heard you owning that. Thank you. Beautiful, Yvonne. Heidi, you're either accidentally unmuted or you have something to say. Maybe you have something to say.
Unconsciously, I guess I did. But no, that's a Freudian slip there. I think I've shared in this room that there's a quote that just stays with me. I originally encountered it and I only saw it in the context of my autistic son. And I didn't realize that it was, yes, through him, but for me. And what we're talking about, that quote is by Michelangelo. I saw the angel in the marble and I carved to set him free. And I view myself in that way. But the how to carve to release me from the marble, my words are my chisel. My story is my chisel. Not only the chisel, but the framework, the shape that I will take. And I see myself as the future me. And I'm beginning with the end in mind, and how do I need to be now? What story do I need to tell now about me and believe about me and write about me now so that she is set free?
Beautiful. Thank you. And we were talking about this on Tuesday. I get to decide. We were talking about that. We're coming toward the end of the high ticket virtual retreat. I get to decide this is what it's going to be. And then I just have the fun of living that life. I've actually created that story. So yeah, we talked about that on Tuesday, and I love the metaphor that you brought in Michelangelo, the angel in the marble. It's just taking all that stuff away. It's like the angel, the shape of who we are is already there. You just get the stuff out of the way, you know, to be able to seize beauty in its form. And when we see ourselves in that way, this is going to connect with what we're doing right toward the end of our retreat today, seeing the beauty in the form that was always already there. we get to live such different and beautiful lives. All right. I know some of you know that we usually start with Shavasana. Just breathe, breath work to center ourselves. And I started differently because I just, you know, had to say, wow, it's welcome to Jonathan again. Welcome to Carly. And that allows us to gather our energy. But I think we've gathered our energy in a very different way and we've still gathered it. Make sense? So we will usually start that way, but I'm just going to jump right over that today because I have some other practices that I'm going to bring to you today that really move the needle. And I got to tell you, like for ourselves, for the alignment inside, for the stories we create and for companies, for our world. So I want to leave time and space for that. I think we've already gathered the energy in a crazy, wonderful way. If you've felt uplifted by even one thing that's been said, honestly, yeah, I'm not looking for like raising your hand because you think you're supposed to, and it's okay if you haven't. If you were uplifted or something opened in you by even one thing that's been said so far, raise your hand. Like something in me cracked open even just a little bit. Yeah, hands around the room. Thank you. All right. So leaping in with loving kindness, I just want to share at first anything else bubbling up, bursting to be said, because this is Carly comes in with a life and death story. You know, this is profound. And I just want to make a space because otherwise we can't hear what's coming next. And again, I have so much to share with you today. You should do this in a week-long retreat. Here's an afternoon deep dive, right? So anything bubbling up wanting to be said? Yeah, Heidi, go ahead.
Yes, I feel the need to say, Carly, I'm grateful you're okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I felt that very deep. Thank you.
That call we were on the other day, Carly, you guys, you know, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Carly, but like lots of tears, like, oh my goodness, you know, just, yeah. And the work that we do here, this is for our lives. This is for our lives and our companies and our world. Thank you for that, Heidi. Beautiful. All right. Okay. Whew. Announcements. Let me go and find the announcements, make sure that I'm, I always think of these as like public service announcements that I want to share with you so that to help you out on your journey. All right. And I like to be able to see your faces at the same time. So let's go rearrange on my desk here. So we have a new bonus training. It is next Thursday. So if you don't have it on your calendar yet, that's because I just announced it on Tuesday. Why I need a talk or presentation and keynote and how to build it for results. I realize this because in order to make best use of our build a talk that sells, our half day retreat, you guys need some training first, right? Why do I even need this? What are the essentials so that we can then actually workshop it for you and do it real live on the court for each one of you? That is our aim at our build a talk that sells half day retreat. This might be because you give presentations to a couple people who could leap into your work at the same time. It might be in your living room kitchen. It might be speaking in front of thousands as some of our members have and do, right? So like, or anything in between. So what are the keys to do that? And we have different training in this through the year, but I wanna pull it all together so that you have it, so that you can give me an outline of what you're doing and so that I can workshop whoever hands it in, I can workshop it for you. So you can already be thinking about it. Like what presentations do I give, what I want to give? Maybe I've never given one in my life. What would that even be? Or maybe I'm a really experienced speaker and what is it that I might want to workshop? And then Thursday's call will give you a ton about that deep dive training. Thursday, March 24th, 12:30 Mountain Time. Build a Talk That Sells, our half day retreat. That's Tuesday. That's workshop style, starting at 12:30 till 4. And Yvonne, thank you for putting it in the chat for everybody. And we'll send it out to you in the usual ways. Influence Through Story. This is open to the public, April 4th to the 8th, 11:30 Mountain Time. We are meeting for an hour a day. And lives have been changed just through this in the public. And if you know somebody who could use access to this story work, we know here inside the party that this work can, Carly just shared it with us. It's life changing. I shared you the story about one of our clients who's, she feels like it saved her daughter's life, right? And it brings joy, it brings fun, it brings growth. Like if you know somebody who should be there, it's free. I don't know if we're gonna do this challenge ever again. Lots of things shifting and growing and changing in our company. So if you know somebody who could use more influence, who wants to tap into the power of story, invite them and we'll have that. The information starts going out to the list next week, I believe. So Influencer Story. Stores That Sell Now. That is Thursday, April 21st, 28th and May 5th. We're doing this in half days through the end of April and beginning of May. And if you want to know why we're doing that, reference the call on Tuesday. We did a deep dive about why we want to own our personal story. Otherwise, how could we even hope to hear somebody else's? And if we can't hear somebody else's story, business is about relationships. We can't build a company, much less live a life, right? So Stories That Sell Now, 3 half days toward the end of April. And Story Freedom, please make sure to block this off on your calendar, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Some of you have been there before. Some of you have been there twice, three times. Every time I'm there, I learn and I'm training it. It's like, it's life-changing. And this, again, there'll be opportunities for people to come. It's one of the easy entry roads for people to gain access to this work. This one is not just open to this community, but others will be able to enter in as well. So if you know somebody that you would like to understand, we're on a moving sidewalk here, understand what it is that you're doing with this story stuff so that they speak the same language with you. This is a great place for them to enter in. I don't know if we're doing either the challenge or the event, which we've done for years, ever again. We're at a big point of transition. So let me see. Anything else? Oh, yes, the game. Oh, my goodness, the game. The game is complete today. And I checked in with Yvonne, who was checking in with the stats. And Yvonne tells me, you won. We won.
We sure did.
So I've got to stop looking at the announcements for a minute so I can see you big. And will you give that, you're already giving it a round of applause, but will you unmute and give yourselves a giant round of applause because you did it. So happy for you. And you know what? Wherever you were, you're like, what game? What game? Like, Carly's been away a while. Like, are we in games? I mean, she knows about the game, but like, are we in game? Like season right now, you know, Jonathan's going, I heard about it, you know, and Marie's going like, oh yeah, I've been playing this many years, or wherever you are in that, congratulations. And so for those of you who actually engaged in the, you know, ante up $10, you're gonna get back your $25. That's a 2.5 ROI, return on investment. I want you to get that in your bones. Wow, I take the actions, I help other people, and I gain back an ROI. So that'll be coming, and my team will keep me accountable to that. I'm not the one in charge of like sending that out. So it'll be coming. I can't tell you exactly when. That's team in charge of it. We'll make sure to get that to you. And you know, I just want to say, you guys worked together toward a goal. You helped each other. You decided on Tuesday, we talked about that, how you want to be as you come toward the finish line. You watched how you were playing. That was all a part of the game. And what I want to do is just take a moment. Let me see. Yeah, take a moment to ask you what you have gained from this experience. You might have editors about it. It's like, oh, you know, other people played deeper than I did. Or you might go, wow, I really went full out. Or you might go, what game? Oh, right, we were still in the game. You might be anywhere about it. Wherever you are, watch how you're playing. What have you gained? What have you learned about yourself, about others, about playing together? I'm only gonna spend a minute or two on this. We're done with game season, but bring it into the rest of your life. This is like done now for all year long and for the rest of your life. What are some of the ahas that you have noticed about if you were at the high ticket virtual retreat, if you leaned in with somebody, if you cheered them on in the Facebook group, if you made a high ticket sale, if you helped another do it, if you, whatever it is that you learned, if you had the courage to talk to somebody or reach out, what, anything, or you didn't do it and you noticed you didn't, that itself is a win because you noticed. Yeah, Marie, go ahead.
Well, I played the game a little differently this time. I not only attracted a high ticket person, but I made an investment in a high ticket program from somebody else during the game. And it's been a huge place of learning. And it is about meeting my future self and investing in her. So yeah, there's tons of learning. I won't go into it, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Fantastic. And we talked about sales on Tuesday. We're not going to repeat that, but the piece about like how we own ourselves and play at the level of our big selves. If I'm trying to create offers that people can step into and change their lives, And then I go over here. Yeah, somebody's offering me something. No way. You know, evil, go back. There's a mismatch somewhere. And sometimes, you know, I've done this myself. So something comes along and it wasn't the time I expected. It wasn't how I expected it to be. It wasn't, but I go, shh. Oh, I need to do this, right? I have to do this, and I leap in, right? So offers go both ways, creating them for others, accepting them, and having, falling in love with sales or making offers or whatever the word is. And I see you doing that, Marie, and so different from the, you know, and thank you. You've given me permission to share many times. Can I share that? You know, they heard it on Tuesday, but for those who weren't there, Marie's first version of, you know, first version of the high ticket virtual retreat, oh, I'm not doing this, and accidentally making $1,800 to now engaging with full heart and soul. I love that. Thank you. What else? Who wants to share? Let's hear one more aha, and then let this process continue when you meet on connection calls, when you're in the Facebook group, when you're noticing how you're playing from here. And you could be, you might not even have been there through the game. You might have just like anything. You might have been deeply involved. You might have just tangentially heard about it. What have you learned? Diane, thank you. And then Yvonne.
Well, I found at first it was like, oh no. And then as I started to talk to people, I started getting more and more excited about it. And I was getting more and more ideas on how I could put in it, like what information I could put in it, the different workshops. So it just started to expand. And some of the people that I had reached out to, unfortunately, things didn't work out and I wasn't able to connect with them. Although I'm hoping I can still do that yet. But it was just kind of fun. It started to become fun.
Yay. Thank you. And it's one of the ground rules. I mean, there aren't many rules here in this community, but one of them is like, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Life is meant to be fun. And like, is it going to be like that every moment? I get it. You know, we lose people, we lose things, the world happens, whatever. I get it. But I love that. That tells me you're on the right track. It's like, oh my goodness, this thing that started out like this and then you're having fun with it. That's when you're reaching out, you're talking to people. And I want to share with you briefly something that one of my mentors said yesterday. So I'm both a teacher and a student always. And there's a program that I'm involved in now. And you guys will hear more about it, you know, probably by the fall, maybe sooner. But they have a very elaborate program of blueprinting, and you have to draw this picture and all this kind of stuff. I haven't done all that work yet, you know, in order to grow your company. And it was super great listening to one of the trainers on that campus. And they have, you know, really high achievers doing some amazing things in that. And some of them are getting caught in the system. And so the trainer came on and said, you know, all that blueprinting that we're having you doing and all that stuff. And, you know, he says, none of it matters. None of it matters. Go out and talk to people. And I was so happy for the deep validation from a different company that people I hadn't even met have been teaching the high ticket virtual retreat for so long. Just like the essential message of it is like, go do it. It's going to be okay. Talk to people. There's people you could help. And Diane, you just embody that. You did it. Fantastic. Thank you. Yvonne.
It was interesting. I'm very aware now that, you know, if you don't have conversations, if you don't make offers, nothing happens. And so I'm super grateful that I'm more grounded in that. But then I had sent out this proposal to one of my clients. And, you know, like I work with her on an annual basis, but every time, you know, every year I have to send a new proposal and, you know, hoping that she's going to rehire me. And she had already kind of indicated that she was going to, but I was still, you know, you send out that proposal, you hit send, you kind of go like, oh, I hope she's going to say yes to this. And then there's crickets, right? And then just paying attention to what my inner voice is telling me about all of that. Then I send an email to her, some, you know, several days later going like, if you want to have a conversation about this offer, you know, just or this proposal, just let me know and we'll put something on the calendar. Crickets again, you know, and my editor was going crazy. And just as I was out all morning and just as we were starting here, I quickly opened up my email and there's an email from her. She said, it looks great. send me the invoice. And I'm like, oh. So yeah, I don't know what, you know, the lesson I guess for me is to ignore my editor and just knowing that all will be well.
Thank you, Yvonne. So beautiful. So happy for you. So proud of you. And here's the thing that I want to underline from your beautiful story. I want to notice all the fear points, right? Oh no, I sent it. Oh no, she hasn't replied. Oh no, should I reach out? Oh no, maybe I can't. Oh no, we've done this work before, but what if she doesn't like it? Oh no, I hope she answers. What if she's not answering? Maybe I have to have a call. It's like, oh, just send me an invoice, right? And then the journey that we've taken, all these fear points, fear points, fear points, fear points. And what do we even do with that? Today is the answer to that, right? What do we do with all those moments? Today, we're going to get there. So I love that story. Perfect place as a jumping off point for our loving kindness half day retreat today. So thank you for that. Beautiful. Anything else burning to be shared? Because this is our close of the high ticket virtual retreat. It doesn't end. Keep that energy going throughout the year, but it's our close for the high ticket virtual retreat season. So anything else wanting to be said before we let that go and then move into our work for today?
Just need to show you where I'm sitting right now.
Yay! Oh my goodness. Marty, so beautiful. I love it. You guys just like living your lives and doing what you want. And, you know, Anna Maria is calling in from, you know, Florida on Tuesday. You're reminding me of, Christina's coming to mind. You know, she's an alumni of our community, and she didn't even know she had that dream. And then she walked the Camino. It's like, what's the Camino? I'm going, you know, just like the energy, life force energy. Marty, will you just say a sentence or two about it? Because talk about moving from, you know, fear into what you love, just a sentence or two so we can, great jumping off point for our day today.
So just the reality of getting out of Calgary, by the time I hit Pearson International, I was going, oh, I remember this. I've got this. And to arrive here and to just see the people and feel the love and have the sand between my toes, it's just been phenomenal. And I feel like myself for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah. Thank you, Marty. Thank you. And how many times have you traveled in the last 2 years, just in case anybody wasn't clear?
Zero.
First one. So good. And then how much travel is in your bones, in case anybody doesn't know or has forgotten? Will you just give us a list of, I don't know, 5 or 6 of the places you've been to, like in 20 seconds before?
Belize, several places in Africa. South America, North America, Asia, everywhere but Antarctica.
Thank you. Returning to who you are, what's in your bones. Thank you for that. Fantastic, right? And you could have stayed at home for the next 20 years. I mean, lots of people are, and I'm not saying it's good or bad to leave your home or not. There's no judgment about this, but I'm saying for Marnie and what's in her bones and what she wants and actually going for it, right? Fantastic. That leaping energy once again. Thank you. All right. Anything else burning to be said? There's always time. There's always time. We always get there. We never do not get there. All right. Fantastic. I realize there's one more announcement because I was talking to you about the game during the midst of the announcements. One more announcement that I want to make sure not to forget. I think there was one more. The mastermind. So we have monthly masterminds hosted by Yvonne or Marie alternately. And the next one's hosted by Marie. It is on Wednesday, April, I can't quite see it, it's off my page, April the 6th, 2 p.m. And the way that you get access to this is by completing your monthly survey. And why we incentivize you to complete your monthly survey is because it's all about, what do I actually want in my life and my company? Am I actually doing it? Am I on point? So all these things are designed to incentivize you to do the things that are going to help you build the life and the company you want. It's kind of like the $10 for the game that spits out 25. Like sometimes we'll do things for $25 that we won't do for the, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions in the legacy and the life on purpose and the people we help. It's like, yeah, but I want that $25, so whatever it takes, right? So the accountability form is there to serve you. Those masterminds are there to serve you. And there's you've got access to 30-minute, for all, whether you're gold, diamond, elite, there's 30-minute calls with Marie that you have access to once a month. And Marie's put, or Yvonne's put the link in the chat for you. So remember that you have everything that we give for you, we always aim to over deliver, right? So there's certain components that are in your program. And also we just give you more stuff. Every single piece of it is designed to serve and support you. Every single piece of it is designed to save you time, let you have more fun, let you live, and let you live different, like both senses of the word, yeah, Carly, Marty, you know, Jonathan, we've heard all that leaping energy this week, everyone. So it's there to serve and support you. So remember, it's always designed to give you time. The editor, that voice inside of us that pulls us back. I mean, Marnie could have been, you know, stuck in, well, you know, the maybes and ifs all, you know, the whole time. And then she's talking to people who could potentially leap in. And if she's not leaping, then what happens, right? So all of it saves us time, saves us energy, and allows us to live so much better lives. All right. That's it for announcements and nothing else bubbling up for you guys. All good? Okay. Jot down your biggest aha so far. Just want to empty out the room a little bit of everything that's happened so far. Lots of energy moving. And so that we can jump in for today. Biggest aha. It trains us to have ahas, right? Wherever we look. All right, thank you. Just finishing up that last sentence, taking it to place so you can come back to it at a later time. All right. One thing that I want to underline at the beginning today too is, what are the four most dangerous, some of you know, four most dangerous words in the English language? I think. Yvonne?
I already know that.
And why?
Because it closes you off. You won't hear any other opportunities, possibilities.
Thank you. I already know that. I already did that. So some of you may have done this training before. Marie has been to the week-long version 3 times, right? You know, it'd be easy for her to go, I already know that, right? And so we don't open to something new. So whether you've heard the words before, and also, like, you know, when do we really know something? When we're living it, when we're embodying it. You know, some of this stuff, you can go Google it. Has it changed your life? Has it changed our world? You know, how do we actually do it? That's what I care about. So much head knowledge at the university, whatever, you know, where I used to teach. Let's actually do this. Like, you guys are, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, so remember, when you hear yourself saying, I already know that, that's probably when you want to key in and even pay more attention, because there's something that the mind wants to miss or slide over. There's a deeper level for you and for us all. All right. So today, let me see. I'm trying to decide if I want to give you the titles of the different segments for today. But I think I don't want to. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But as I look at it, I don't want you thinking ahead. I don't want you going, okay, ticky box, check it off. I just want you to stay here, be present, and trust that all the pieces that you need by the end of our retreat time today will be given. And we will have breaks. We'll take care of you energetically. And you can stand up if you need to. Make sure you stay hydrated and so on. All right. So the title for the half-day retreat today is Loving Kindness. This is in what we call the Allow series. We did the half-day abundance, right? That's the A in Allow. We're now doing the middle L in Allow. How do we allow beautiful things into our lives? How do we make it easy? How do we make it fun? You know, allowing, not pushing. And that middle L in Allow stands for Loving Kindness. Now, why Loving Kindness? I'm not going to tell you why it does this right now, but I'm going to tell you that by the end of today, here are some of the things that we will have, the questions that we will have addressed, some directly, some indirectly, in our retreat today. What are the qualities we need to create a standout company in a crowded marketplace right now? I probably won't address that at all directly today, but everything we do today is going to do that, right? And if ever you have the questions like, how does it do that, Michelle? Just ask the question on the next call. By the end of today, I think you'll see it, even though I don't address it directly, I don't think. The second thing, what can we do when the world around us sometimes seems to be paralyzed by fear, or we are? Yvonne, thank you for that. It happens moment by moment, even when we're doing good work often, right? What do we do about that? And thinking about Yvonne is to address Yvonne's moment, to come back to it. You've heard this story before. 2 years ago, Yvonne was sitting there, we were in a call. She's like, yeah, I'm just gonna pull back and not do my work. It's that pullback, it's that fear. And sometimes it doesn't look like fear. It sounded logical. Oh yeah, my, you know, event work doesn't exist anymore right now in COVID 2 years ago. So I'm just gonna take care of my mom. It all sounds logical and it's not coming from there. It's coming from fear, right? So how do we change that? And how do we even recognize it? And how do we come from a different place so that it's easier, so it's more fun? And what do we do with those fear moments? We're gonna talk about that right in the first part. How do I create my own economy no matter what the world is doing? We won't talk about that directly, but you're going to see it works that way, that we do that through the work that we do today. How do I have an amazing life no matter what's circling around me right now? It's exactly what allows us to have a standout life. And in this retreat, what we're going to do is go to the root of the standout company, the root of the standout life, and see where we want to apply this in our companies and our lives. So again, some of those pieces we won't get to directly, but you will hear them by the end of the retreat. And then I added one, some of these I've said before, and this one I've never said it like this before exactly, but I wanted to add this: discover how to grow our companies quickly and ethically and easily. And as dolphins, not sharks. I just learned that language this year, right? Dolphins, you remember that? A shark is like, there's only one pie. I gotta get my piece of it. F you, right? Some business goes on like that. If you want that, hang up. It's not here, all right? That's the sharks. The dolphins are like, let's make a pie-making machine. There's plenty for all. Let's create win-win-win, right? So what we're doing today forms some of the foundation, the inner foundation of actually being able to create that. And find out how to do that in ways that are right, to create that great life for ourselves right now, for ourselves and for others around us. So that's some of the places where we'll get to explicitly or implicitly, and so much more. I want to share with you to begin. Let me see if I can find it here on my desktop. All right. I want to share with you. Let's see if I can get this. Hang on. Picture. Okay, I think I've got it. Share screen. There it is. All right. Can y'all see that? Everything you want is on the other side of fear. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. Now, this is a quote by Jack Canfield. He's not the first one who said it. There's this guy from the 19th century, can't think of his name right now, who said, everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And he said it in the 1900s. Jack Canfield is not the only one to have said this, but this picture I had on my fridge for years. I don't have it on my fridge anymore, but it is deep in my cells. What I want to do, I just want to start out by saying, you know, well, what does this bring up for you? What questions are there? What ahas? What things do you notice either about the words or the image? There's no wrong answers here. I just want you to, I mean, I had this up on my, I thought it was important enough. It was on my fridge for several years and it's still inside me. What do you see in this? You can go ahead and say so. You can unmute, leap in. What do you see? Marnie, I saw you raise your hand. I think you might have unmuted too, Marie, but I saw you raise your hand, Marnie. So let's go with Marnie and then Marie.
So just for me, I always think of this quote as one of the things that drives me. That it's not without fear, it's despite fear, and that you have to walk through that to get to what it is that you really want to achieve.
Okay, fantastic, Marnie. And so it's been very central in your life, you say. Okay, and can you give an example, just brief one, like a 30-second example of some time where this was enacted for you? so that we get going to Africa. Okay. And then I just want to say, like, play devil's advocate here a little bit. Well, so what? You went to Africa, less people travel. Tell us something more so we can feel what you felt in that. Why is this so important to you?
I think that there was a sense of the unknown, but also, what if I fail? I like to have control. Mm-hmm. And I was giving over complete control to sort of the elements and to other people, and just having to trust myself and the universe that it was going to be okay.
Mm. The unknown. I mean, the unknown is part of story, isn't it? Luke Skywalker doesn't know what's going to happen when he heads out. It's central to our stories. And if we go, I have to control everything beforehand, otherwise we're not even allowing ourselves to start the adventure. So I love that word, the unknown. And then what if I fail and I need control and trust? All that is in here. And I hear all those things in this image and these words as well. Thank you for those examples, Marnie. Thank you. And you might feel different things as you see this. You might go like, I don't want to even think about that. I don't even like that. Why did you put it in your fridge, Michelle? Right? You might have all kinds of reactions to this. Or you might think, I don't even know what to make of this. I don't want to hang like he is from what's he doing in this rock. Let's hear, oh, Marie. Yes, you were next, Marie. Let's hear what you hear in this or what you see. Let's hear aha.
Well, I don't think I've ever noticed this in this photo before, but there's a line. This climber has a line that is supporting them, I would suspect, if they fall. And it's like, isn't that interesting?
Hmm. So you've seen this more than once before. You used to see it at my house.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times.
And you've never noticed that he had a line to so that he could do these things. So interesting.
Well, and actually, I see this as a woman, not a man.
Oh, right. I just say, right. Interesting. For you, I don't know if it's a woman or a man.
It can be anything, right?
Both he. Interesting. Right. Anything else coming up? Yeah, Heidi, go ahead.
I find this image very activating, like not in a good way.
Thank you for that. I was waiting for somebody to say like, oh, I don't like that.
Or, I don't like it. Yeah. I want you to take it off the screen.
Mm-hmm, so interesting.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm about to fall to my death. Like, and it's only my fingernails, which are slipping as we speak, that is preventing me from plummeting a million feet into the terrain, the ravine beneath me that I'm going to splat on in an ugly death, an ugly, painful death. Like, so, gee, I'm getting excited. But so, it really, but this is terror. This is not just fear. Mm-hmm. This is panic. I'm going to die. And that my brain is turning off. Like, there's no possibility here. This is, okay, say your prayers. You're about to go. And terror at that.
Thank you for your realness, Heidi. And I am going to take this down now.
Please, thank you.
I always, there are always going to be many different reactions in the room, and all are welcome. And thank you for that fabulous description of what fear feels like real fear, paralyzing fear, like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And often, if you've ever felt fear before, and not just a little fear, but deep fear before, raise your hand. Like, I'm really afraid right now. Right? How many of you have felt even just a little bit of fear before? Raise your hand. Like, this is common to the human condition, right? So what do we do with this fear? We don't do something with it. If we don't do something about it, we bump into it. And Yvonne gave us an everyday example. Heidi gave us the writ large example, like, I feel like I'm going to die. And Yvonne gave us the daily example, like, oh, I open my email and then what, right? And you know, we're hardwired as human beings to survive. It's like saber-toothed tiger chasing us kind of images, right? It's like, and everything is triggered, and then there's the adrenaline, and it was built for that saber-toothed tiger kind of world. And we still have these reactions even when we open up email. And then we leak energy everywhere. If you get what I'm saying, that fear reaction, we leak energy, raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. So we all said you've experienced fears. That means we've all leaked that energy before in big ways, like Heidi's talking about it, in small ways, like Yvonne talked about. So what do we do with this? How do we get a hold of fear and transform it? And in order to think this through, and you know, I have the things that I want to share with you, but each time I'm going like, is this what serves? Is this where we are in the room right now? Is this what you'll hear? Yes, it is. I think so. So I wanted to share with you something from one of the great sages and wise men of our time, Dr. Seuss. And so I'm not reading you about the Sneetches. It's just in my Sneetches book, right? And it's called What Was I Scared Of? Right. So nothing that you need to retain, nothing you need to remember. Don't think too hard. This is Dr. Seuss. All right. Enjoy the story. He says, "Well, I was walking in the night and I saw nothing scary, for I have never been afraid of anything. Not very." "Then I was deep within the woods when suddenly I spied them. I saw a pair of pale green pants with nobody inside them. I wasn't scared, but yet I stopped. What could those pants be there for? What could a pair of pants at night be standing in the air for?" And then they moved, those empty pants. They kind of started jumping. And then my heart, I must admit, it kind of started thumping. So I got out. I got out fast as I could go, sir. I wasn't scared. But pants like that, I did not care for. No, sir. After that, a week went by. Then one dark night in Greenwich, I had to do an errand there and fetch some Greenwich spinach. Well, I had fetched the spinach. I was starting back through town when those pants raced round a corner and they almost knocked me down. I lost my Greenwich spinach, but I didn't even care. I ran for home. Believe me, I had really had a scare. Now, bicycles were never made for pale green pants to ride in, especially spooky pale green pants with nobody inside them. And the next night I was fishing for dout trout on Ruver River when those pants came rowing toward me. Well, I started in to shiver. And by now I was so frightened that I'll tell you, but I hate to. I screamed and rowed away and lost my hook and line and bait too. I ran and found a brickle bush. I hid myself away. I got brickles in my britches, but I stayed there anyway. I stayed all night, the next night too. I'd be there still, no doubt, but I had to do an errand. So the next night I went out. Somehow I'm thinking about Marnie here too right now. It's in all of us. I had to do an errand, had to pick a peck of snide in a dark and gloomy snide field that was almost 9 miles wide. I said, "I do not fear those pants with nobody inside them." I said and said and said those words. I said them, but I lied to them. Then I reached inside a snide bush, and the next thing that I knew, I felt my hand touch someone, and I'll bet that you know who. And there I was, caught in the snide, and in that dreadful place, those spooky empty pants and I were standing face to face. I yelled for help. I screamed. I shrieked. I howled. I yelled. I cried, "Oh, save me from these pale green pants with nobody inside." But then a strange thing happened. Why, those pants began to cry. Those pants began to tremble. They were just as scared as I. I never heard such whimpering, and I began to see that I was just as strange to them as they were strange to me. I put my arm around their waist and sat right down beside them. I calmed them down, poor empty pants with nobody inside them. And now we meet quite often, those empty pants and I, and we never shake or tremble. We both smile and we say hi. The end. All right. Thank you, Dawn. I see you. Yay, Dr. Seuss. All right. Same question as with the photo. Similar question. What stays with you? What do you remember? What ahas do you have? What struck you? There are no wrong answers here. I've read that story over and over and over again. Every time I read that story, it's like, oh, there's another level to that story. Dr. Seuss is a walking genius around this. Oh, there's some other stuff around this. Genius. What do you hear? Diane, thank you.
When we have to face our fear, we realize that there's nothing really to be afraid of, and we start to befriend it because it helps us to grow and expand.
We get so scared. Isn't it? Was it Mark Twain who said, you know, there's been so many terrible or frightening things that have happened in my life, but none of them have happened? I can't remember the exact quote. So afraid. I remember when I was doing my comprehensive exams for my PhD, and people all have been successful up until then. Like, these are all a bunch of successful people. And then you study, you know, we have to basically read, I didn't do quite that much, but, you know, it's like a book a day for a year, have our own, you know, creative thing that we do that nobody else in the world has done, be tested on it in three-hour exams, and you only have that chance, and you either make it or you don't. And if you don't make it, you still get one more chance, but man, who's going to make it that second time after you've just done that for a year or two? Great, are you kidding me? And one of my friends said, you know, Michelle, it's like a wall. When you come up to it, you know, it just dissolves. It's okay. It's not there. It's all going to be okay. We just go right through it. But the wall is like so frightening. It's like, oh, the pants, there's nothing in them. I'm not saying real stuff doesn't happen. Of course, stuff happens. But what we build, like Yvonne's example is so great here. All the fear points, all the leaking energy. And thank you for your realness in that. And in this case, it's like, oh, you know, she says, great, send me the invoice. Whether it's the big things or the small things, all the stories that we build up inside, in and around it, right? Thank you for that. Love, love, love that, Diane. What else? What did you hear in the story about the pale green pants? Let's hear at least one more. Mary Kay, thank you.
Well, I was just picturing my puppy and my young horse when they see something frightening, or it's really something they haven't seen before. And yeah, it's the same kind of fear, terror. And then the openness that they, when they have the openness to explore on their own, and then they get to a certain point where it's it's nothing. And that's, yeah, I can apply that to myself too.
All the energy we have around it, all the energy. And the thing feels strange. The thing feels frightening. It feels other. And it's right. We're animals too. It's hardwired into us as animals, right? So you see it in your animals. I love that, Mary Kay. And it's like, oh, wait, I'm safe here. It's okay. I can move through. Marnie can leave her home after 2 years and go out and explore again. And it's dinner. It's okay, right? And the animal's like, oh, afraid. But then, it you know, as it becomes familiar in the past, that happens with the pants too. Let me go towards it instead of running away from it. So often there's something we're fearful of, we run away from it. And the thing is, like, it keeps chasing us. There's another related story that I love about the lion and the lionesses. You've heard this story before. You know, we want to go toward the lion's roar. What the lions do, I'm not a lion expert, but I've heard the story. I love the story, right? There's a one lion and there's a whole row of lionesses on the other side. And what the lions do is that when the prey comes, the lion roars. It's this frightening thing, like the pale green pants, right? And the prey goes running toward the lionesses, away from the roar, toward the lionesses, and gets eaten. They move toward it, we went toward the lion. That's the route through.
And you were wondering why I was afraid to go to Africa?
Yeah. Fears about travel, fears about a particular place, fears about reaching out to this particular client, fears about going out onto our own, so many fears, right? Anything else about, I want to say one more thing about that, but anything else? Yeah, Heidi, about Dr. Seuss.
I thought that was beautiful. What struck me was that it was his empathy that got him out of his fear that the pants were crying.
Ah. Empathy, connection. I haven't even talked about loving kindness directly yet, but we've really been talking about nothing else, but they're polar opposites. See, antidote, a loving kindness, we'll talk about what that was, how it happens and so on a little bit later in the call. But empathy and connection, something about connectedness, unplugged that fearfulness, right? Thank you for noticing that, beautiful. Anything else? Anything else wanting to be said? Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead.
Okay, so something in the moment, I just realized, yes, I can use all this to get to the dentist this afternoon. And I do have a big fear of the dentist. So thank you.
Everything we do here is meant to be eminently practical. Read Dr. Seuss, and now you can go to the dentist without fear. And then I know you know this, Mary Kay, when you go to the dentist differently, what happens in your company? I know you know the ripple effect, right? And you don't even have to think, I don't even want you thinking about that right now, but it's like, we go to the dentist differently. We bring a different self over there. We're going to bring a different self over here too. That client we're afraid to meet, the potential client we're afraid to meet with, the thing that we need to say to a team member, joint venture partner that we're afraid to say, or, you know, how we need to talk to our families because they've said a certain thing and it's hard, or, you know, we want people to be, understand our journey, but we were worried about the reactions and all that push pull. And Dr. Seuss is part of the antidote, right? It is a springboard to shifting that around. And there's one more piece that I wanted to underline that I think Dr. Seuss has so brilliantly. And it's connected to, you know, when I tell people the one sentence version about what I did for my PhD is like, here's the stories that bind us, here's the stories that set us free. In order to do that work, I learned from many amazing people who study our stories from the inside. And part of that is a whole body of knowledge. I don't want to go into all the details here, but it's called postcolonial theory. And what they say, you don't have to remember that word, but what they say is they talk about, you know, othering. There's ourselves and then there's that other. Easy to, like, it's the pants, right? There's ourselves, there's that stranger, like stranger danger. There's that other, there's that thing that's separate from me. You over there are separate from me over here. I'm nothing like you. You're apart from me. And I'm going to push you away because I'm scared of you. You're different from me. You're a different place. You're a different culture. You're a different way of being. You're different. And I'm scared of that, like the pale green pants, right? I'm going to push you away. We fear it. We don't understand it. We do this. And if you're going like, Michelle, why are we talking about this? I want to grow my company. I don't see any of you impatient in that way, but I just want to, you know, Mary Kay already talked about going to the dentist. We can see it in Marnie. We can see it in, you know, Yvonne and other places on this call already, not to mention what happened to Carly. Right. But, I often like to go to the very tactical in this, and that's like we're in a strategy session, a place where we're making an offer, and we say to somebody, this is how much it is, and they go, that's way too much, you know, or they react in some way that we, you know, or no way I would do that, or who do you think you are, whatever, some reaction that we didn't want. What's the mechanism that happens inside us, do you think, at that moment? Everything we've just been talking about, do you get it? You are other from me. You don't get it. You are apart from me. You, separation. And in that moment, I've just lost the opportunity. When I react in that way, I've just lost the opportunity to help somebody. If you were wondering why this is practical for your company, let's go to the very practical place of sales. When I have that inside me, it's very hard to grow my company, right? And I don't have a very good life, right? So we push away that stranger, that other. And here's the thing. This is what the postcolonial scholars say is often, the thing that we can't tolerate there, it's some peace inside ourselves. You who are saying that it's too much, I don't like you and I'm going to push you away. Because somewhere inside me, I think that I'm not worthy. I think it's, I don't know how to charge that, right? I don't really believe in it yet. I actually agree with you and you're voicing it to me. And then I'm so angry with you for voicing it that I push you away. And therefore, I'm pushing away part of myself and I don't know myself. How am I going to know that other? And there's so much pushing in our world right now in this way, isn't there? So fear, hatred, they're kind of on the same side. Can you hear that? Like, I hate those pants. I'm afraid of them. They're different from me, right? And if you think about, like, there's so many places right now that we can, we saw a bunch of them here. But I want to share with you some of them written down in front of me in my notes here. You know, sometimes we're afraid to do it alone, to go out and be, have our own companies. We're afraid to have that first client because, oh, what might they say? And all that fear reaction comes up, right? We're afraid to do that launch, right? To actually put our work out into the world. We're afraid because all those people, they're different from me and they might not hear. And all this reaction is happening, right? Fear, hatred, right? The yogis talk a lot about it. Trying to go it alone. Sometimes we have our companies, but then we think we got to do it alone because we're afraid to outsource it. We're afraid to give it to somebody else. They won't do it right. They're different from me. They're not like me and they won't get it. So I've got to then be like the lone ranger. And how's that working? All these are fear, hatred reactions, right? Even in a loving group like this, you guys have so much heart, but the mechanism is still happening inside us. Does that make sense? I mean, Yvonne is such a loving soul. And we saw that fear reaction. Thank you for sharing it, right? Umpteen times reading a couple emails, right? From that to like mortal terror with Carly, like, I am afraid I'm going to lose my life. From the daily and the mundane to the vast, right? Afraid to say something that somebody could disagree with. Oh no, you're different from me. You might say that. I want you to, you have to be the same as me. Otherwise things are going to fall apart. It's right there in the pale green pants, right? And then think of it, it's from the micro to the macro. Look at our world and what it teaches us to do about story. I mean, let me just say a couple words. Pandemic, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, Ukraine, Russia. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But do you see, like, it's the same mechanism writ large. When we're here doing the loving kindness retreat, yes, it's about you living the best life for you, but it's also, to me, it's about bringing peace to the world, do you know? Like, it starts at home. I mean, I don't know, it's a cliche, but it starts at home. So what if we could embrace those pale green pants? What if we could? What would that even look like? What would heal inside ourselves if it's a part of ourselves that we're pushing away? You know, in this polarized world, we draw these lines, you know, good, bad, alike, not like, black, white, tall, short, fat, thin, you know, third world, first world, like mask, no mask, etc., right? So we haven't talked about how to do this yet, but I want to underline how important it is. Then when we get that, we'll be seeking the solution, right? What if instead of that fear reaction that we've seen right in this call, in the micro and macro levels, right? Marnie choosing to go through that. And now look at her where she is, right? Each of you had to come through that to leap in here, right? Good for you. You've all done it. But what do we do on a daily basis and how do we grow that, right? What if instead of that fear, we could embrace it, embrace that other, embrace that part of ourselves? And the antidote, the opposite of that fear, hatred, pushing away, that's what on this campus, and I'm not the one to coin it as that, it's in the Buddhist tradition, I'm not a Buddhist, but they're really smart about this stuff, it's called loving kindness. It's called loving kindness. And I think at this point, I want to show you another picture, because this is going to be another one, like, I don't know if you'll like it, like Heidi didn't, hopefully, like Heidi didn't like that picture, but hopefully it's useful to you. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. It's all good. You own what you actually feel. But hopefully it helps move you forward, whatever your own honest reaction is to it. in order to move through this. And let me just say, if you know that fear either has or is now in some level of your life, it could be an email, it could be fear for your life, it could be anything, fear of anything in between. If fear has ever held you back in any way, raise your hand. It's like something is, thank you. If it's not, yeah, if it's not unanimous, and thank you, Marty, for that honesty, right? All right, so we know we want to unhook that fear, that hatred. We want to be able to, how do we embrace the pale green past? It's nice as a story, but yeah, how do we do that in life? If I've got to the place where you want to understand the how, did I get there? Raise your hand. Like, this matters at every level of our life, our company, our world. Thank you. We got there. Okay. So let me go find the another picture that I want to share with you. Let me see. This is by, I think I've got the book here, the actual book beside me. Did I put it beside me? Oh, it's over here. Give me a sec. Siri Huber, a wonderful Zen teacher. Some of you know him. Part of my background is I was a student at a company called Peak Potentials for 3 years. When I do something, I like to do it deeply. In 2.5 years, I think it was, I did like 25 courses with that company many years ago, many of them week long. I'm just like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And Siri Huber, and it was at the time, it was the fastest growing personal development company in the world. And the founder of that company had two spiritual teachers, and Siri Huber was one of them. I can't watch her speak on stage. Amazing soul. This is from her book called The Key. And the name of The Key is Willingness. And she is a beautiful heart-centered Zen teacher. And I'm not a Zen practitioner of Zen. I'm not a Buddhist. I just like wherever the ideas are that will help us, that's where I would like to go. And so I just want to share with you one of the pages from her book, just to contemplate. Just take a look for a minute. Just take a look. What? All you must do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. What? Talk to me about this. And again, I don't like with Heidi. Thank you for modeling that for us. Heidi's like, I hate that. Take that down. You know, all honest, like tell us what you really think, you know, what you think is valuable and your honest reaction. There's no wrong answers here. What do you see in this? Oh, you mean, really? It's like profound Zen teacher? What? All you must do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. What is she talking about here? What do you hear in this? No wrong answers. That's kind of weird. It's like, Michelle, what are you doing to us, right? Marie, thank you. Was that looked like a raised hand, Marie.
I can raise
my hand, maybe not.
It was hesitant.
I thought you were just like playing with your hair a little bit.
Well, there's such a profound truth here. Like, there's a lot of things running through my mind. So it's sort of like, wah. Anyway, the whole thing about your teaching, right? The pushing away and the grasping. This would be part of pushing away. And there's something about the innate humanity of each one of us. And Thich Nhat Hanh teaches this, a Buddhist monk who just recently died, that the pirates that are marauding on the seas are as human as the refugees that are on the boat being attacked. Like, there's something about that, and it really calls on us to find that place in ourselves to see the humanity of everyone. Like, we all have a godlike nature. It can be obscured, but it's in us.
Thank you, Marie. Beautiful, beautifully put. I draw this line between self and other, and you're over there, and never the twain shall meet. What would happen if we could increase the circles of what we could embrace? What would that mean? Just to think about that for a moment, what would that even mean? So thank you, Marie. And that, yes, like, well, you know, that victim over there, yes, I love that, you know, victim and want to embrace them. And, you know, but the ones who did that to them, they're the bad people, they're the evil people. I just want to push them away. And maybe there's a part of me in that knows that I have that capacity in me too. And the more I push them away, the more I just feel sick to my stomach, the more it like division and war, right? Inside of us. And it's like, wow, how do you build a company? Then how do you build a life? Hi, Heidi, were you the one you would raise your hand? Yeah, Heidi.
Yes, well, I think about this a lot because I view it as accepting of what is, all of what is, the accepting truth, like it or not, it is what it is. And if you refuse that, that resistance is excruciating. That resistance, the sky is blue and I hate the sky, that the sky is blue, that just will create such anguish as you're trying to not accept the fact that the sky is blue.
Heidi, this is so important for your work. Will you tell people, remind people, you know, 1-2 sentence version of what you do and why this matters so much for your people? Because it's in our training then as well, and how we serve the people that we serve or in our way of supporting others. So talk to us just a couple sentences about who you work with and why this matters in the work that you do.
I work with the parents of severely autistic people. And I spent years trying to change my son, thinking he was broken, and hating and resisting the what is, make it different, make it go away, have to heal it, that's my job, or else life is over. As opposed to, wait a minute, he's perfect as he is. He has this and I can be happy. And both can be true in the world. And that's the paradox of life, that two things can be true, the acceptable and the unacceptable in the same space and time.
Okay. So when I push away what is, I mean, what is, I love that you said that, right? What is, if I push that away, I'm not going to feel very good.
You won't. You'll be in pain.
Yeah. All right. So thank you. Beautiful. So do you think this means, okay, well, that means that I'm supposed to condone all that bad stuff that's going on out there? I'm seeing some of you going like, no. Okay. Why not? Because isn't that what this means? All these people are doing bad things in the world. I'm supposed to go, I don't know. Yes. Russia should invade Ukraine or whatever it is. Is that what that means to you? Marie?
Well, it doesn't mean that we condone it. But it's more, to me, this is more about my inner state, because my energy affects the world around me in ways I may not even realize. So if I'm in anger and aversion and hatred, that's just spreading the same kind of energy that an invader or a pirate is. So it's like I have to start with myself first.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to take this. I'm going to stop sharing the screen. Yeah. And what you said, Marie, reminds me of I read this first in Sharon Salzberg, a Buddhist teacher. And this is some of the words of the Buddha. He said, like, hatred will never cease by hatred. Hatred will only cease by love. This is an eternal law. And again, that's one spiritual tradition, but you'll find that echoing in different spiritual traditions, right? And again, if you think that this isn't practical for your company, we'll go back to the 6, because sales is eminently practical, right? You know, I don't think that that's worth it, you know, somebody says, or whatever it is, or, you know, I would never do that without talking to my spouse. So, you know, or you know, that's not so aggressive. I'm trying to think of an aggressive thing. That's not worth it. How could you do that? Either you tricked me or something like that. Somebody says something like that. This pushing away and hatred. And then we go, yeah, well, you don't know the value of it because you're stupid and you should go away, right? We think we're not doing this. We think, well, I would never do that. But we do this in micro ways, like Yvonne pointed out so well. It's like mini aversions, mini moments of fear or hatred. Oh no, what does she mean by that? What do you mean by that? And then it ends up ruling our lives, right? So instead, what if we could embrace larger? What if, and the thing that I love that you said, Marie, too, is it's about our inner state. if I'm carrying that inside me. It's kind of like if I'm going like, all those people that are hating out there, I hate them. And, you know, okay. It's kind of like, it reminds me of, you know, like the parents and the kids and the kid who so pushes away what the parent is doing, but they end up just replicating the same thing in inverse. Oh yeah, all right. So what would it be to take in, to actually embrace, have a, like, I think of it like, it's like, yeah, and Heidi says, hate is another energy leak, big time. Yeah, exactly. So what if I could embrace more and more and more? What would it mean to actually be able to embrace all that I love or loathe or fear or hate? What would that even mean for my world? And thinking back to that, you know, everything you want is on the other side of fear. And usually we try to, like, sometimes we try to powerhouse our way through it and we try to, like, attack it aggressively, or, you know, I'm not saying there aren't moments for, like, strong energy, of course. But what if we could come at that fear a different way? That pushing away a different way? What if we could come at it in a way that stops all the pushing and pulling and exhaustion? What if we could find a life that, and a company and a world that embraced instead of pushed away? All right, so jot down your biggest aha. Jot down your biggest aha. Just want to empty out the room a little bit. Okay, thank you. Just finishing off that sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. I'm just taking a moment because I want this to land. And I'm just making sure that we've laid the groundwork for you to have the best ears to hear. So I think what I want is a couple more examples in the room before we go to the next piece. And we will go to a break by 2:30 anyway, all right? But I don't see your energy faltering so much. I think you're still present. And if we continue on here, it's a whole package and we can get it, all right? So I would love to hear from a couple of you, and it could be from something, maybe it was a big thing in your company or your world. Maybe it was something that happened this morning or this week. I would love to, for you, if for someone who's willing to be vulnerable, and this is a vulnerable group, this is a safe place, this is an amazing, you guys are amazing, right? An amazing community. So I would love to hear a couple of examples, real world examples of some places where you have been or are afraid. And you know that there's something on the other side of that, that you would like to do, or that you would like to achieve, or that you would like to hold space for somebody or something that you know that fear has or is holding you back. It could be you're worried you're going to run out of time today, that if we don't get this, it could be happening right now. Michelle, if you don't say this faster and we don't get to the point, I won't get it fast enough and I won't get there. Like, it could be happening at that micro level, even as you're learning. It could be, I'm afraid to reach out to people. What, you know, when I serve them, I might, once I say yes, what will they, will I be able to serve them and get the transformation that I've promised? It could be, what will my family think if I do this? Because they've expected me to be in this way. I don't know where it is for you. I'm just giving you some typical examples in our daily lives. Just want to hear a couple of them. Because if we haven't understood what the problem was and don't have it in ourselves right now, we won't hear the profoundness of the solution, okay? So something that's, we heard it from Marnie, you know, I bet there's some fear before you ended up taking that trip again, right? I already heard one, but I want it present. Jonathan, thank you.
Yeah, so I, excuse me, I have, I've been feeling conflicted about how to deal with a situation where one of my staff members gave notice last week. And my first reaction was to just basically say, well, you know, thank you. Appreciate your time and everything. And, you know, basically that was essentially it. And inside, I think my first reaction was a mixture of different emotions. Part of it, I think, was I was angry because I knew it was going to create problems for the rest of my team to have to fill in. Part of my feeling was, in a sense, relief because this person was underachieving. And my first reaction was just to kind of block it out and say, well, whatever, it's done, move on. And having listened to everything, you know, this morning or this afternoon, I feel like maybe the better the high road would be to have a very sincere conversation and ask this person, what could we have done better? What could I have done better to make this a more comfortable journey for you and me? And I'm just kind of feeling, you know, conflicted about it. There's a lot of tension about it. It's very hard to find employees now. It's a tough market. And, you know, personally kind of feeling in a sense that I've failed this person.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it was that's essentially it. I mean, really, it's kind of feeling like, have I failed because I haven't been able to create a good enough place to foster this person's growth? Do I feel slightly ashamed that I'm angry that she's moving on? Do I feel bitter that I'm going to have to work and the rest of my staff is going to have to work that much harder now that there's going to be a gap? It's a lot of those sort of emotions.
Thank you so much for that. You know, vulnerable share about real situations, like a real situation that's happening for you. And each one of you, I bet you can think of something that has happened that is parallel, right? Might not be your exact situation, but so, yeah, lots of nods around the room. Thank you. So thank you so much, Jonathan. So, and when we look at that situation through the lens of what we've been talking about, we've mostly been talking about the problem part. We haven't talked about the solution part yet, but can you all feel, and Jonathan, again, you've teased it out for us too, there's different emotions going on there, but that the threads of fear that run through all of that leak energy. I'm afraid, if we put it in the language of fear for now, and again, other emotions, I'm not trying to say that those aren't there, but we can look, when we look at it through this lens, we can see certain things. If we look at it through a different lens, we'd see other things. But when we look at it through this lens, and I can retell that story through this lens, Jonathan, you okay with that? Okay, thank you for that permission. So I am afraid, here's what I, part of what I heard. I'm afraid I've done something wrong and therefore she went away. I'm afraid that the team will now have to work harder. I'm even afraid, you didn't say this, but they'll then blame me because if I did something wrong, I'm afraid then that there's going to be tension among people. I'm afraid that it's going to be hard to find somebody. And even as I speak it, Jonathan's going, why did I come here? You know, it's like... But I'm trying to just give words to and put it in the framework of what we were just speaking about. And is anything in there, does that feel wrong? Or does that feel like, no, that's how it's been feeling?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah.
Right. And when we talked about, you know, even in this room, even as I say those things, not just for Jonathan, but for all of us, can you feel what happens to the energy in the room? It's just like, oh. And also then the anger part is also fear, anger, hatred. They're all like, they're reactions inside of us, that disempowering story of, I don't like what's happened. You did it. I want to, and the easy route, if you were somebody other than who you are, Jonathan, right? You're like, well, you're wrong. I'm right. You shouldn't have left. It's your problem. Now the team's going to have to do it. I'm going to punish you in some way. And I'm going to make sure the team sees that I'm doing that so that I will look right and we will unite against you. And that's Russia and the Ukraine right now. Just in our own companies and our lives. And then sometimes we do that. I'm not saying you're saying you don't, you aren't doing that. You don't want to do that, but that happens a lot in the world, doesn't it? And then we're doing in our own companies this, and then we go over there, bad Ukraine, not bad Ukraine, usually bad Russia and bad situation. I said, you know, even saying those words out loud is like, oh my goodness, like it means that I meant to say bad Russia. That's the side that we're all on in the West. You know what I mean? Because there's a side we take, and this is the good guy and this is the bad guy, and that I'm going to be right and you are going to be wrong, because otherwise I feel diminished, and there's this stuff inside that I don't want to look at or take responsibility for, like, what if I did something wrong, what if, and all of it written as fear. And then we leak energy, and then we try to go have a conversation with the team or with that person. It's like, oh, what a mess. If this concrete example is making sense to you about the depth of this and how it works in our everyday world, that level of fear and anger and hatred, raise your hand, Jonathan. Thank you. Y'all hearing it in very concrete ways. Thank you. All right. Well, so then what do we do? What do we do? If we want to unplug that fear, if everything we want is on the other side of here with fear, whether we like the photo or not, if we know that this is so much getting in the way and leaking energy and writ large in our world causing war, and writ smaller causing us not to be able to grow our company, and writ in our own lives, it's like Marnie doesn't get to go anywhere and feels bad, etc., right? Well, then what do we do? What do we do? Hopefully I set up the question right. And Marnie, you've already got a solution. I've got a solution there that I want to enter in, but I want to hear what you have to say. Marnie, go ahead.
Well, I think it goes back to that picture you just showed about accepting everything that's unacceptable. I've done some exit interviews with people that have been pretty damn harsh. And what I had to learn was some of it was useful and some of it wasn't. And to not take it personally, to learn and grow with it. But I also had to learn to flip it on the head that most of the time my team left because they had opportunities that I had set them up for. They couldn't do when they came in to work with me. And now they have a skill set and confidence they didn't have before. And when I changed it to the expectation that they should leave me, it became a much easier journey for me.
Marnie, I've loved everything you've said. And I'm like, everything you need is in this community. You guys are amazing. And who you're connected to, right? You don't have the solution here. Every person in this room is connected to, you know, they say on average at least 200 people. And I'm sure that you're all connected to way more than 200 people, right? So, and if you aren't, you are connected with a small group of really amazing people. I know that that's it because you're here, right? So, Marnie, thank you. So you're talking about tactical on the ground, kind of what Jonathan could do to negotiate this. And I love everything you've said. One way through this and one way thinking about it through the inner world. And then I want to kind of tackle this at a different level, because how do we, you know, so that's what we do in this situation. What do we do in this other fear situation? What do we do in this other one? What do we do in this other one, this other one, this other one? How do we tackle it at its root? So that our natural come from place is something different. Would that be of interest to you? I hope the answer is yes. If I set everything up in a way, if I found the words to say it, if I could have a different come from place than that, you know, automatic reaction of fear, and is it still going to be there in us? Yes, it is. But what if I could unplug it even just a little bit? What if Jonathan could unplug even one of those threads of fear in that? Wouldn't there be relief in that? If he wasn't afraid of that it's a bad market, for instance, right? to for hiring people right now? What did you do to his energy? If we could pull out any one of the threads of fear, wouldn't that make a difference? For Jonathan, then for each of you in your own parallel, right, world of that. And then what if we could understand how to unplug that at its root? So it's not, I got to find the solution for this, but I have like the key, the underlying piece, the root, so that that's not the way I'm interacting and reacting. It's coming from a different place. What might be possible for the vision for our companies, for how we work with our teams, for sales, for marketing, for how we live our lives, for what how dinner feels like when we go out with a friend. All right. Now we are set up for that, for what I wanted to share with you. And this, I've got two of her books here beside me. I love Sharon Salzberg. Here's one of her books. It's called The Force of Kindness. She is a Buddhist teacher. And this word loving kindness, I associate with her. Sharon Salzberg, The Force of Kindness, Change Your Life with Love and Compassion. And here's another one of hers. I found this one first many, many years ago. Well before I think I taught that retreat that Marie was at, and what the first one was, 2011, Loving Kindness, the Revolutionary Art of Happiness. And so this is what Sharon Salzberg says, the Buddha says, to unplug all of this. And again, I'm not a Buddhist. You don't have to be a Buddhist to make use of this. They understood things. The Buddhists have understood things about the mind that I think are just life changing. So why not tap into some of that wisdom for our lives, for our companies, for the world? So let me see. Here's what she says. This is from, if you want to look at it later, at least my edition, page 20. It's the first chapter of the book. She says, and I want to introduce you to something that is called a metta in the Buddha tradition. It's metta is loving kindness. Metta means loving kindness. And there's a particular practice that we're actually going to do after the break, because it's been a tool that I want to say has, this sounds melodramatic, but I feel like it saved my life about 20 years ago. And I want to share it with you. So she says, so we're afraid. It's affecting our lives when we open our email, when we're in emergency like Carly, when we're thinking about traveling like Marnie and all of you talked about, and when Diane is like, oh, when am I going to call that person, Jonathan with his the staff, and you know, so in so many places, right? It's a practice called metta meditation. She says, the Buddha first taught the metta meditation as an antidote to fear. Hopefully that rings as important now, right? As a way of surmounting terrible fear when it arises. Think of Heidi when she's even looking at that picture and the fear that arises in her, that's a moment of fear itself. What if we had that antidote? Legend is that he sent a group of monks off to meditate in a forest that was inhabited by tree spirits. These spirits resented the presence of the monks and tried to drive them away by appearing as ghoulish visions with awful smells and terrible shrieking noises. Not that different from how Heidi described that picture. It's our everyday world, right? The tradition says that the monks became terrified, like Heidi described, like Carly lived. We all have in different ways, right? Like Jonathan is in the midst of. The tradition says that the monks became terrified and ran back to the Buddha, begging him to send them to a different forest for their practice. Run away! Instead, the Buddha replied, I am going to send you back to the same forest, back to the pale green pants, right? But I will provide you with the only protection you need. This was the first teaching of metta meditation. The Buddha encouraged the monks not only to recite the metta phrases, but to actually practice them. I get chills as I'm reading this part because I know what it means when we actually do this. Right? It's been many, many years for me, and some of you in this room, you know, some of you don't. This is new. As these stories all seem to end so happily, so did this one. It is said that the monks went back and practiced metta so that the tree spirits became quite moved by the beauty of the loving energy filling the forest and resolved to care for and serve the monks in all ways. I'm so afraid to go into that forest. There's shrieking, it's ghoulish, it's awful. Like Heidi looking at that picture, like, make it go away. And instead, the Buddha says, go right there. And Dr. Seuss says, go right over to the pilgrim paths and embrace them, right? So then, and he says it's the antidote to fear and hatred. And let me see if I've got, oh, here it is. It's right on the next page. I'm like, can I find this quote for you? The inner meaning of the story is that you might want to close your eyes for this one. If you actually hear it, this is life-changing stuff, right? The inner meaning of the story is that a mind filled with fear can still be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. Moreover, a mind that is saturated by loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. Even if fear should arise, it will not overpower such a mind. Now open your eyes. Did you hear it? Did I say it in ways that you could hear? What is she saying about this practice? This is huge for companies. I mean, companies don't know about this. Remember I said we'd find an outstanding quality that makes us different, and there's not a world of competition. It's so far beyond. Competition itself is like, win-win, and you're bad and I'm good and I've got to, you know, build my company and you. No. What did she actually say in that? Did you hear it? Let me read it again. Wrong page. Okay. The inner meaning of the story is that a mind filled with fear can still be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. A mind filled with fear can be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. Moreover, a mind that is saturated by loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. Even if fear should arise, it will not overpower such a mind. So what'd you hear? What's the potential for us if we actually get this? And do this and know how to practice this. Marie, I saw you there. And then Yvonne.
Well, I guess what I'm realizing is it works not like it. God, there's so much running through my mind again with this. So right now, my husband is going through chemo a third time for leukemia. And I have had to face the fear of him dying. And somehow in that practice, I've been able to show up in new ways in my business. I haven't given up my business. I've used this learning as a way to be even more present to the people who show up for what I do. And it just amazes me the depth that we are able to connect with each other in the writing circles that I offer because of this quality of loving kindness. Like, to me, this is at the heart of everything I do.
Thank you. Can you hear not only what she said, how she said this? And this is like, when did we first do this practice together, Marie?
I think it was in 2011.
Yeah. This is like a deep, abiding practice, right? Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, from what's happening with your husband, what's happening with Rod to, you know, oh, I have a launch that didn't go well. Oh, I have a conversation where the person didn't say the thing I wanted, whatever. Can you hear what might be possible then? I'm a little bit afraid to go out on my own in my company, you know, for my company. I'm afraid to hire this person. Can you hear that if we can have that, we can certainly handle those things? The power that this gives us. Thank you. Thank you, Marie. Thank you for that vulnerability. Thank you. And that beautiful description and owning of the power of this work, right? And we're actually going to do this after a break. I'll show you how this works, right? So you can have this for yourself. Yvonne.
For me, what I heard was, if I'm being loving kindness, fear cannot have a grip on me.
Did you hear it? I love the way Yvonne said that. Mm-hmm. Can you hear the power of that for every level of our company, every level of our lives? I mean, that's astonishing. That's beautiful. When we really get that, that's life-changing. Thank you. All right. Jot down your biggest aha. Thank you. What we're going to do, because this is a feels like a natural place for a break. Still so much I want to share with you. We've set up what we're doing, understood why we want to go there, and then we're going to do it in the, you know, after the break. I want you to know, I didn't want to tell you the titles beforehand, but part one was Love or Fear. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. Did we get there? I hope we got there. Heidi's got it for sure, right? Part two, I'm not going to tell you what the title, well, part of the title is metta, you know, loving kindness. Just, and then there's another piece of it we'll also get to after the break. And I gave it two subtitles because I it's both of it. There's so many things that happen, but let me just share with you where we're headed. How to release fear, know your value, and truly live a happy life right in yourselves. But can you see why the promise of it is there? Like, that sounds like a grandiose promise, but when we can do that, oh, we get that, right? The other subtitle I gave it, I couldn't decide, so I thought I'd share them both with you. Metta, the secret to taking bold action in a shifting world. Or how to come from a place of loving kindness for self and others. Those are all the same thing. Can you hear it now where we are? All right. So let's take our break now, because I don't want to start teaching you how we do this, how we tap into this practice until after the break, because I don't want your mind filled with the details of it. I just want you to be in the why of it and the potential for releasing that, like Jonathan's example, for instance, or Yvonne with the emails, or Carly in emergency. You know, it was Shavasana, but there is all of the work behind that, you know, for what happened to you in emergency, or Marnie on her trip, and so many other things. And Diane in reaching out to people, right, and going like, oh, I'm kind of afraid, but, you know, so, but I did it, and oh, it's fun now. So much potentiality. We will take, let me see. Can we do this with a 5-minute break? I just want to share so much with you. Your energy actually looks good to me. It's just a natural place for a break. Can we come back in 5 minutes? So I have that it's 2:14 at my house. Can we come back at, we'll make it 2:20, all right? Come back at 2:20 to go, well, how do we actually do this? We're going to do it right on the spot, all right? We'll see you in 5 minutes. Take good care of yourself. We'll see you soon.